This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have on the show Daniel. Daniel, thank you for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are in a lovely spot in the Coromandel, surrounded by roosters. So yeah, if you hear them in the background, that is what's going on there. No, it's a beautiful spot here. How long have you been here?
About 5 years now.
5 years, yeah, yeah. And you still love it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, beautiful natural spot. So I've got Daniel on to talk about his experience with sensitivity to electricity and electrical fields. But before we get into that, I'd like to know from you, Daniel, how did you figure all this stuff out? Because there's a lot of people living with sensitivities to foods and chemicals, and that's kind of more well-known and popular. But to have a sensitivity to EMFs is quite yet accepted, really, in the mainstream. So it would have been a big, eureka moment for you to go, oh, this is what I have. So what's your journey been like?
Yeah, I've always been playing a lot with technology. I would always eke out the most options out of it and connect things up in ways that wasn't possible. So it wasn't the first thing that I thought about. But in the summer of 2012, I was traveling with my girlfriend in a van, and we had lots of equipment with us. And of course, I had it all tethered up to each other, and this could control that, and this would do this. But I was just getting sicker and sicker during the travel, and I thought that it was hay fever, just inflammation from that. My head was foggy. I had pressure on my skull, just feeling generally pretty shitty. And it was getting worse, and I couldn't figure out what it was because, food wasn't good. We were in different areas. It wasn't like that was locked into pine tree forests or something like that. It felt like that. It felt like when we were in the Coromandel, where the pine trees were blooming, that it was that. So for a while, I assumed it was just that. Yeah. And then we visited a friend who was living as a dock employee somewhere in the middle of a native forest. And he had his Wi-Fi router modified. He took the antenna off. He said he didn't like to have the Wi-Fi beaming through the whole house. And so he explained to me how it was influencing him, how it made him ill. And it was just that the penny dropped, because I said to him, like, I sometimes feel when we switch on the phones, I think I get this like piercing stab in my head. Yeah. And just at the moment that I was explaining that, I felt it. I felt that sort of needle piercing through my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went outside and I checked in with my girlfriend if she had just switched on her phone, because I felt it. And she said, oh yeah, just a minute ago. And that was the first time that I started looking into it, because it was so visceral, it was so clear, so painfully clear.
This was 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me another 2 or 3 years of basically umming and ahhing in denial, because even though I would be confronted with it, it just clashed so much with my general knowledge of...
Well, I was going to ask, was there anything out there for you to find regarding electrical...
No.
Sensitivity.
No. At that point, I really had to figure out by myself, just by taking it away, switching it off, and noticing, oh yeah, that is actually helping, that is improving. And being confronted over and over with, like, for example, after that summer, I lived with a friend in Piha, and he was concerned about that. So we were aware of it, just didn't have a lot to, based on just general knowledge, like, yeah, Wi-Fi is probably not so good. So we had this thing where we agreed to switch off the Wi-Fi whenever possible, and only switch it on when you really need it, and switch it back off again.
Cool.
But the amount of times that I would say it's still on and the rest of the housemates would say, no, it's off. It's like, go check it. I feel it now. Mm. It's on. Mm. And yeah, that happened over and over and over again. So I was like, okay, this is not just a imaginary thing, because I was dead right every time.
It's just making me think, it's a bit of a tangent, but people who are more in tune to metaphysical fields and energies, just like you were tuned into that Wi-Fi being on and no one else could feel it. But there's people that are in tune to, maybe some would call it the afterlife or higher realms or, you know, different dimensions. Maybe they're tuned into a different electrical field that we aren't tuned into.
Yeah. I don't know how much I'm, generally I am quite sensitive to my surroundings and I'm not going to pretend I can channel or...
But you, this is your... This is the field that you're tuned into, that you can sense that no one else can.
Exactly, yeah.
So this is the dimension that you're, that's visible to you, but not to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because there's a book out there based on EMS and their impacts on human health called The Invisible Rainbow.
So love that one.
It just makes me think it makes sense to call these dimensions invisible for most, but visible to some. Mm. Anyway, going back to your story.
I mean, it's just been a long journey. I don't know. I sometimes feel a little bit, it feels like a little bit much to talk about, and then I was suffering like this and that. But if I look at it now, over these 10 years, it really has shaped me in the sense of I just basically don't try to make excuses anymore. It's really hard to live with something that basically nobody knows anything about or cares about.
Yeah.
But actually it's affecting everybody.
Yeah.
And it's a really weird situation to be in. And it reminds me a little bit, like I'm on the receiving end now of something that I went through through my youth, was that smoking was normal. You know, so I remember people coming up to me like, do you mind putting out that cigarette? It's affecting me. And we smokers would be just sort of like, okay, well, yeah, well, whatever, you know. You don't care, you don't know, you don't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, somebody could tell you it's bad for you. But
yeah.
Do you really believe it? It's not even a question of believing or not. It's just not relevant.
And they can tell you it's affecting them in a bad way and you just don't care. Well, so who did you find, what people out there did you find that were voices and talking about this stuff back in those days?
Luke's Story had a few so podcasts. He had quite a few guests that came on there, and like in the beginning Cruise. You were
Jack
talking
Cruise, Jack Dr. Cruise, Jack Cruise, yes.
And I don't know exactly when I started to come on to my Facebook group, but I found a Facebook group in Holland that resonated really, really a lot with me, because these were, I could tell, people that actually feel it and are working from that perspective, because quite a few people know about it or are affected by it, but they don't really know if they can actually feel it or when it starts to happen. And so just by subtle little things, you can sort of, I would call them sort of inaccuracies, you know, there's like, yeah, you got the clue, but it's not quite that way.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do people, if they have this sort of idea that this could be the cause, I mean, I'm guessing going to the doctor won't do much. They'll just say,
no,
it's all in your head.
No.
What do you think, like self-experimentation? Like when I tell people in terms of food, that's one of the best things you can do is don't follow a diet. Eat food, listen to your body.
Yes.
Look at the macros, the ratios, the nutrients, what you're eating. It's not easy, but over time you'll actually become the expert on you.
Exactly. And no one else can tell you. Yeah. Well, the tricky part with this is that I definitely agree with you that you have to do some experiments and see what's your situation with and without. The only problem is that it's really hard. Sorry about the roosters. there are a few of them are going to land in the pot, unfortunately. But yeah, I didn't quite get around to that. Yeah, the tricky part is you don't know when you're ingesting this stressor because it's affecting you and you don't know it. So the only real way to be sure that you're doing a proper experiment, you would want to say, is by having a meter. And actually you need multiple meters, but just with a few simple tools to be able to really assess if stuff is actually switched on. Because if you're not 100% sure that stuff is switched off, you might think, oh, I've got my phone on flight mode and I've got the router switched off, so I should be good. And next 2-3 days, you're thinking, well, I'm still feeling shit, so that wasn't it. Well, did you realize that your printer is still on Wi-Fi and that your AirPods are actually still emitting Bluetooth and you're still in a soup of EMF and you didn't know it, so you still haven't done your experiment properly. But in general, I'd say, you know, easiest if you, I mean, even going to a camping and saying, oh, I've been out in the wilderness and it wasn't great. Well, is the tent right next to you? Maybe that person is on their 4G, or even just, you know, not even on anything, but all these devices are by standard switched on Bluetooth and Wi-Fi seeking. It's amazing that these dark slabs of glass, they seem so innocuous and not doing anything while they're just laying there on the table. But they're active. They're blasting through. If you would hear it in sound, and sometimes I switch on my meter and people get so annoyed by the sound. Oh, please switch it off. It's like, but that's your device doing all the time.
Yeah, so if I was to turn my phone airplane mode off and make it on so it can receive and make calls and messages, this room would make a sound, right?
Yeah.
Your meter would go beep.
Yeah. It would be quite... quite annoying, especially because this room is shielded. I've done my best to shield it properly, so it will be harder for your phone to contact the cell tower.
And that's another thing.
It blasts up in strength.
When phones are weak in signal, they actually use a lot of battery power to try and reach that source. So not only does it drain your phone's battery when your phone's weak on signal, but actually probably emits even stronger signals.
Oh, it goes up. Really badly.
Start screaming.
And the same happens when you're driving your car, and especially when you're driving through the country. First of all, the phone wants to contact the cell towers and keeps renegotiating for the triangulation to know where it's at and which tower is the closest. And you're in a half a Faraday cage, so half of the signal is just bouncing inside this little portable microwave you're sitting in. And your phone is blasting at full speed. So I always tell people, like, at least put it on flight mode. And if you need maps, just pre-download
them. I download them offline, I put the phone on to check the traffic to do the route, and then I turn it back to airplane mode. But now the route is set.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so before we go any further, I think we should talk about, what are we talking about? EMF fields, EMFs. What exactly are we talking? Because there's native ones, and then there's non-native or artificial or human sourced fields of electricity. So what are the ones that are impacting us in a negative way and that you pick up on for yourself?
Yeah, well, EMFs is a very broad term for electromagnetic fields, and it is something that varies in frequency. And depending on the frequency, it's a different thing. So in a certain part of the frequency, it's light, a very small part of the EMF.
So we can see the EMF field visible as light.
What we see, the sunlight and the LED lights and your screens, that is all a very small part of the EMFs of the electromagnetic frequencies. If you go above light, it's called ionizing frequencies, and that could be X-rays and gamma rays.
So this is ultraviolet?
Yeah.
Going
above from that. And going below to the lower frequencies, below infrared, that's where we start to get all the radio frequencies. And depending on what kind of technology you're using, it could be your LTE from your phone or the Bluetooth or the Wi-Fi. They all have different frequencies. But what is funny to point out is that your Wi-Fi, for example, is on 2.4 gigahertz, which means 2.4 trillion times per second, there's this pulsing electromagnetic field. And
Per second.
Okay. 2.4 trillion times. And not even that, it actually goes beyond that, because that that those waves are also modulated. That means in one waveform, it can be chopped up in many different values. So you will get even higher frequencies of extreme voltage differences, and it's called a voltage potential. And these jumps from minus to plus are what are wreaking havoc on our cells, because they use electric potential and electric fields to communicate with each other. Not only the cells between each other, but inside the cell. For example, the mitochondria need to send out little electric pulses to the cell wall, because they're not actually the same organism. You know, mitochondria have merged with our cells in the far, far past. And one of the ways that they can communicate, for example, that they need more calcium, is that they send out these electric pulses, and these voltage-gated calcium channels, they open up and let the calcium in. And at the moment that gets disrupted, basically the whole functioning of the cell starts to get impaired. And with a lot of this stuff, it is, yeah, sure, our body is pretty tough and our cells can adapt, but it's for how long?
Yeah.
How long do you keep putting it under stress?
Yeah, there's a difference between an acute stressor, which is, you know, just then and there, versus one that's chronic. And also with cells, there's a voltage difference between inside the cell, which is a healthy cell with healthy metabolism runs at minus 25, I think it is.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know if it's volts or millivolts.
Probably millivolts, yeah.
If it gets down to minus 5, that's fine. But with all this stuff going on, with stress, mental, emotional, as well as physical stress, eating the wrong food, not sleeping, and all these non-native EMFs, that will start to raise into the positive, and then the cell stops functioning, because it needs that difference between what's in the cell, which is negative, to what's outside the cell. That's also what keeps the cells together as an organ. So when you get like breakdown of tissue, that's the cells not having the correct charge and not able to hold on to each other. It's everything's electrical at the fundamental level. Everything is electrical, and we've got these devices, and we live in this world which is completely trying to disrupt the electrical system of our body.
It's so saturated. Yeah. I mean, it's what I was just talking about, trillions times per second. That's also the estimates in how much more radiation there is than there used to be. The native, you were alluding to the difference between native and non-native EMF. We have not developed for what we're swimming in, and all these safety guidelines that we're looking at, they're literally all been thought up by engineers, and the engineers are looking at it from a standpoint of, does it affect other electronic equipment? No, then it's good. We've done our job. And for the biological effect, it's just, well, if it doesn't heat up your tissue more than 1 degree, we're fine.
I was just going to say, all the studies that were done on the safety of cell phones are done on heat, not the electrical fields, which is like, what? That doesn't. Why are you just looking at heat? That's just one factor that's coming out of these devices.
Oh, you know, there's a funny little thing. If we talk about heat, the frequency of a microwave oven is 2.4 gigahertz, which is exactly the same as Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Yeah. And at first I thought that's some kind of sick joke. And it's actually quite a practical. And again, really from an engineering standpoint of view, yeah, makes a lot of sense. First of all, in a microwave, you want to heat up your food. Well, the one thing that you can agitate is the water molecule. Mm-hmm. So the 2.4 gigahertz is exactly the frequency where water molecules start to agitate and generate heat. Mm-hmm. So that's very practical. But for routers, it has another benefit, is because you will have a lot of radio stations close by. Everybody's got a router, everybody's got a phone, and you want the signal to dampen off as quickly as possible. And the atmosphere has water in it. So that's why, because of the atmosphere and the water that is in the atmosphere, it restricts sort of the radius of the antenna to about maybe 150, max 200 meters. So the engineers thought, well, that's great. We'll use the water as a dampening, because otherwise we'll get too much overlap. If it will be on another frequency, that same router could be transmitting for kilometers.
But then what's happening to our bodies, which are like 60-70% water or 99.99% water by molecules, you know, in terms of
Yeah, no problem. As long as you don't heat it up by more than 1 degree, we're fine.
According to those studies.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so we're talking mainly about these gigahertz and devices. Okay, so what can we do to measure that? Like, what do you use? Besides your own body and your headaches and all these things.
Yeah. No, it was really nice. I started with a Cornet. That's a 3-in-1 meter. Mm-hmm. These days, I still recommend, I send them also out to friends and people that need to try, but aren't quite willing to invest at the moment, because it is, even the cheap ones are still $180. So it's
can we get them locally in New Zealand?
Not that I know of.
Overseas, okay.
Yeah, but the best ones, I usually get them from Canada, from what is it, Safe Living Technologies. They are really...
Well, at least there's something good coming out of that country.
Yeah. Well, I've got their latest meter. You know, the first time I got a meter, and this is also why I would suggest to get a meter, because I was living in a room that was... pretty shielded from cell towers. There was hardly any reception, a little bit of Wi-Fi coming from the neighbors, and I switched off the mains power to it, and I was still getting headaches. I was still getting brain fog, and I just couldn't figure out what's going on. I should be in a really good spot now, and double checked all my equipment, switched it all off, and then I decided to bite the bullet and ordered a Cornet, and $185 US it was at that point, and it took about 6 weeks before I finally got it. And when I got it, I heard what was causing my headaches. It was a duck, 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 duck. And I was like, what is that? What? All my stuff is switched off. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% sure. And then I found it was my Apple Pencil of my iPad Pro. It's beaming out 24/7 a Bluetooth beacon signal. And
The one that you, like a stylus.
Yeah, nice, beautiful.
That's white emitting.
Set. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and there's no LED light. There's nothing on it. There's nothing that you could imagine that is, could be a source. And that's why, I mean, it's like, if I didn't have that meter, I would have thought at that point, you know, it's probably my imagination. Maybe people are right. Maybe it's just something in my head. Mm. But when I isolated that and got rid of the pen, I just sold the whole iPad Pro, which... pains me, because I love creating on those things. It's such beautiful technology, but it just makes me sick, really horribly, violently sick. So yeah, I had to get rid of it.
Once they got rid of that on the meter and for yourself, it all went away.
Yeah, yeah, and that is a reoccurring pattern now. If I'm not exposed to EMF, I'm really fine and happy, you know. I forget about it. When I'm affected by it, I can't stop talking about it, because like it's all around me, and I gotta figure ways to get rid of it.
It's like a crying child. There's a crying child somewhere. I need to find it, right? Found it. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, there are other things that I've, because I've had to pay more attention to, like what's happening to me. I found that there's other things that can trigger my migraines, for example, too much cheese or milk, or maybe alcohol, or way too much sugar. So there are other triggers. But if all that is fine, then really the only big factor is EMF. And it can be something as little as, you know, I had a friend come in here and I started to become nauseous, because I didn't whip out my detector, because... he came in and said, no, I've left my phone in the car. I know about your condition. Okay, cool, great. But 15, 20 minutes in talking, I start to stutter, which is one of the sort of first signs for symptoms. To see what's going on, and start to feel nauseous. I'm like, do you mind if I just grab my meter? You know, it feels a little bit offensive to do an airport security check.
Yeah, I need to scan you.
Yeah. But I did that, and there's something emitting from him, and he's like, no, he's only got his shorts and a t-shirt on. It's like, I got nothing. And he keeps digging. Oh, you mean these? And he grabs these little AirPods out of his pocket.
Yeah, he totally forgot.
Yeah, it's a 16,500 microwatts that's emitting there. And to put that inside your ear, inside your skull. It's it's absolute madness.
Put it in your pocket next to your groin.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? Like where you see those things like, oh, when they made fake snow from asbestos. Jingle bell. Right. You know, it's that sort of like, oh, crap. Oh, no.
Okay, so that's one of the, so the Cornet, is there a model number or is it just called the Cornet?
Oh, the Cornet is the ED88T. It's a horrible.
And that's a good introduction.
Like that's a good introduction. I've got now is the Safe and Sound Pro, and that's another level of sensitive. It's about twice as expensive, but that is by far my favorite meter. It's great because it's, like in US dollars, it's maybe 380, which is a lot of money, but compared to semi-professional things, they cost $1,000, $2,000.
So what's the difference between the two? What are you missing out
more
on?
More precise and more importantly, more sensitive. Because what happened over time is I got more sensitive, and so the Cornet wasn't sensitive enough to pick up the things that still would make me ill. So the Cornet would show, well, I'm at the bottom of what I can measure.
Okay.
All is fine. And I was still feeling, no, actually, it's not fine. Yeah. So I had to get something more sensitive.
That's interesting because, yeah, just going back to, for you, was there any sign of this when you were young?
No.
Related to it? So no, it's something that's come into it as you've...
I can look back and see that the amount of time that I spent on my laptop to share my Wi-Fi with other people, you know, I would be sitting on a computer for 14 hours and just feel the pressure in my head getting and like what you're getting. And now looking back, I recognize that what I was feeling, I would call it buzzed out. I spent too much time on the computer. That is, I didn't associate it at all with anything EMF. I didn't even know anything about that. But now looking backwards, I can see,
There was some things there, but...
I was overexposing myself.
Yeah. And your sensitivity has just grown over time. I know for me, I wore glasses in high school at 16 for the first time, but, you know, my mum got me a Amiga Commodore computer when I was 10. And I just remember being in front of that screen, and maybe too bright, too contrast, too close.
Yeah.
But just always on there, never sort of giving my eyes a chance to relax and look at far distances. Because your eyes are muscles and you know, it's just contracting on one thing. It's something's bound to go wrong. But yeah, so that's interesting. That it's like a stress bucket. And eventually you fill it up so much it just overflows or breaks the bucket. Do you think it's possible for you to become more resilient by trying to heal and make your nervous system stronger?
Well, yeah, that is sort of the big question for me.
Although it's difficult because you got to do that while you're still being attacked.
I'm noticing that I'm feeling a lot better when I'm in like this space is now almost completely without RF, but I still remain sensitive if I go out, if I get exposed. So, and that's also what I hear from a lot of people when they say, "Oh, I've healed myself. I'm good now." As long as I don't expose myself, I'm kind of like, okay. You're not sick at this point, but you're still sensitized. You still got that bruise.
So it sounds like it could be equivalent would be someone who, as a child, they were fine with peanuts. As an adult, they get an allergy to peanuts and they'll just won't be eating peanuts ever again. So it sounds like it's something that's come up for you later in life, and that it's now your burden to carry.
Yeah, I'm starting to become quite doubtful that it is possible to fully. And you know, the funny thing is, it is not something to recover. It is really a bad stressor for any person.
Life on the planet. For bees, we're talking about bees as well. For trees. It's not something we should be living with. We shouldn't be putting up with this. We should be changing it and making it more harmonious and in alignment with the natural EMFs. But yeah, we shouldn't be putting up with this stuff. So you said you're shielded from this with your place pretty well from outside. What have you done?
Mostly what I've done is because I've got very limited funds, so I investigated the cheapest way that I could do it. And it started with, you know, those emergency blankets. They work pretty well. The plastic foil, you know, for at the $2 shop.
Okay.
That is, you know, your starting point. That's also I still use them to test certain areas. If I notice, like, hey, maybe there's some radiation coming in through this wall or that, I can quickly hang a few up and then do some measurements, and that's a quick and cheap way to do it. And I've developed my own technique. What you can see here is I've put aluminium foil just from the supermarket and rolled it up with put PVA glue on the wall and basically wallpapered the walls with alufoil. Yeah. There you go, the full tin foil hat freak. Well, that's
it works.
done aesthetically, and then it's extremely good at blocking.
Okay, so
I mean,
that's on the walls. What have you got on the ceiling?
That's the emergency blanket.
It's interesting. I mean, I know there are companies out there doing clothing that reducing, but you could probably just get a tailor to put this into the.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crackly noise. I do have some suits. Like, I've got a overall suit that is meshed with steel that works very well when I go into town.
Steel, yeah.
And a veil over my head that is working with that's with silver on a synthetic.
So you're kind of making a mobile Faraday cage where you're protected. Yeah.
And for here by the windows, I'm really stoked that I've found a wholesale alu mesh, like a bug screen. Mm. As long as the aperture is small enough, and that should be, you know, a 1 millimeter, 1.2 millimeter, then it basically shields off all those frequencies.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So that's how you're doing it with the windows.
Yeah, it's very effective. I think it's going to be a bit more problematic down the line when they start to engage in the higher frequencies of 5G, 30 to 60 gigahertz, because then the waves, that's when they call it microwaves. Oh, sorry, millimeter waves. So we're using microwaves now. They're a couple of centimeters long, so they won't pass through that small aperture. But when the waves get smaller to the millimeter size, then they can actually just shine right through, and nothing will stop
that. Is
that
what 5G is, or 4G, or 3G, or 2G?
Yeah, 5G is a not necessarily a frequency. It's
a technology.
And it's a whole bunch of different technologies and a whole bunch of different frequencies that they use. And that is overlapping with some of the 4G that we're using now. And in the future, and they're already starting to go up to 5 and 6 gigahertz, but they want to go to 30 and 60 gigahertz. And that is going up to such a high frequency that it has problems penetrating anything. So it won't even penetrate into your body, but it will definitely penetrate the first couple of layers of your skin.
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard with the 5G technology, not the frequency, but the 5G technology is it doesn't penetrate deep enough, but it still affects what's happening in the skin, which is pretty important, because that's where you get your when the rays of the sun hit your body, the cholesterol chemicals in the skin, that's what converts eventually into vitamin D. So if you're getting exposed to 5G, is that chemical reaction going to happen, even though you've been out in the sun all day? But your vitamin D is low. Why is that? Maybe the 5G is affecting that. And I heard that 4G, 3G, and 2G, the original mobile phone technologies, they actually penetrate a lot deeper and actually a lot more damaging. So everyone's got this focus on 5G, 5G, which is fine. But what about 2G, 3G, 4G?
Yeah, well, I've switched a couple of years ago. I switched back my phone from 4G to 3G.
Mm.
And that already was quite a improvement for me to notice, like, having a lot less effect on me. I mean, these days I have my phone off basically all the time, and I only check it for a minute, 2 minutes, just to check if there are any texts. But not too long ago I could have make a few phone calls, but it's progressively it gets worse. And that's why we're to what you were mentioning before, like, the thing that I found that's the closest to what I'm experiencing is actually multiple sclerosis, and it has the same sort of neurodegenerative
MS,
properties.
Yeah.
And food-wise, I try to follow the things from the Dr. Wall protocol.
I was going to say, Dr. Terry Walls. She's cool. Going back to the meters, you got the Cornet, and you got the, what was it again?
The Safe and Sound Pro 2. Yeah, not the greatest name, but it grows on you.
And you're finding that's pretty good.
Yeah, But to mind you, that is only looking at RF, radio frequency. That is, this is a real tricky thing. If you're looking at electromagnetic waves, they're made of two components, electric waves and magnetic waves. These are two separate things. They're correlated, but they have different properties and different waves that they behave.
Right.
But when it comes to a high enough frequency, we see them as one. The meter can also spot them as one.
Okay.
Electromagnetic field is just one thing.
One thing.
But when it comes to lower frequencies...
Like the radio frequencies?
Yeah, even lower than that. Then it becomes two different components. And suddenly it becomes so incredibly hard to shield, so incredibly hard to deal with. Like, you know, I've got the a pouch where you put your phone in, and it completely blocks out all the RF signals, the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi. There's no way, there's nothing coming through. You measure it and it's zero. But if you look at the ELF, which is the extremely low frequencies, and that is the frequency of the chip and all the electronics,
wow.
You know, all the normal stuff. It's still very high frequencies, but it's not in the gigahertz. That is so incredibly hard to shield. I mean, pretty much impossible.
Yep.
It brings out a whole nother level. Like, for example, I've got a magnetic gauss meter, and it cost me $500, and it's showing nothing here. So I felt like, oh man, I've just thrown away a lot of money, and I'm not being able to improve my situation much because I'm not measuring anything. Mm. And in fact, I started to think that it was broken, but it is sort of the industry standard in the lower entry level where they say, no, that is the one you got to get if that's sort of your, like your minimum investment into a gauss meter.
Yeah.
But now finally I got the difference, for example, between driving in an EV and seeing how very little gauss, how little magnetic fields there are, and that means they're shielded off really very well. And then the Sonicare electronic toothbrush spiking beyond like 16,000 gauss, and to put it in perspective, one milligauss is sort of like your upper level should be.
Mm.
And that toothbrush is coming up at 16,000. And that explains why I gave one to my friend who's actually electric sensitive.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything of it. I thought, you know, I'm just watching out for RF and making sure that we're on Bluetooth. And within a half year, she got so many tooth problems. Her dentist told her, like, whatever you're doing, stop doing it. Because for the past 10 years, her teeth were just absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And as soon as she started using that Sonicare Philips toothbrush, her gum started to bleed and everything started to become really bad.
So this is on the magnetic field level, not the electrical. So with Teslas, would they be shielded well as well? Like all these electrical vehicles?
I must admit that I don't come near a Tesla. I love the whole electric car thing. It looks so amazing and I wish I could drive one, but I can't even stand close by one. They've got so many radio antennas.
What if it's just parked up on the side of the road?
Even when they're parked up there, they're on. They don't switch off.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got Bluetooth and 4G going on nonstop.
Wow.
And yeah, I think, these are the things that will accumulate in making your end of part of life a lot worse.
Yes.
We might not die sooner, but in fact, we might live longer. Like the book you referenced to, The Invisible Rainbow, he makes a very, very compelling argument for that. You're basically starving the cells of and that's what I'm noticing now. It's like the way that EMF has been affecting me in the last year, which is quite different than the past 10 years, is I've gotten to a stage where I am experiencing chronic fatigue. Like I can do, like, I love scything. I love cutting grass, and I could do that for 2-3 hours and build up a nice sweat, and it's an aerobic workout, and I love it.
Yeah,
I do it for 5 minutes now and my muscles hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
They hurt like I've done a freaking marathon.
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of inflammation these EMFs are causing. Most of us, it's like a little micro stress, but over time it builds up. But for you, it's a major stress. What's the... Is the meter, so if I was to turn this on and it makes that beep, which meter is that one?
Well, I've got a little meter that's called the EM EM Safe, and actually that's a really cool one. I'll just grab it.
So is this always on?
Yeah, this one is always on because it's a from EM Fields. It's in England, and it's not a meter but a detector. So as soon as something changes in my environment, I've got this.
Can I try it?
Yeah, sure.
Hold your breath in.
As soon as something changes in the environment, it will start to sound an alarm. So we hear the first click.
So I've just turned my airplane mode off. I'll put my airplane mode back on.
Takes about a few seconds.
Look at that. And it's like at least, yeah.
But if you compare that to...
Oh, here's the Safe and Sound Pro 2.
Yeah.
Should I do it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put airplane mode off. So my phone is back. Oh. Airplane mode on to turn the phone signal off. So straight away that goes off and that comes on and go.
Oh, and that sorry sound, doo-doo-doo, that is when it's running out of battery. It lasts for about 2 weeks, which is the big difference. Like my Safe and Sound Pro can last for a few hours, maybe 7-8 hours. I use a rechargeable battery, but obviously you don't want this on all the time with the annoying sound and thing. So it's not a great instrument to keep you safe in that sense. And the other one, the detector, that is something I have on all the time. And as soon as that starts to beep, then I know, hey, maybe I should check what's going on. I might be in a space and somebody walks in with their phone. This one gives me a beep and it just gives me a discreet little warning of, hey, they probably have a phone on them and I can ask them.
What is this one called?
This one is called the EM Fields Rad Aware.
Rad Aware, RF exposure lamp, cool.
Yeah. I've got actually another one that is I can wear on my wrist. That is from the same people of the Safe and Sound. It's the smallest detector there is. That does work really well. But what I like about this one is that you can actually adjust the sensitivity on the fly really quite easily, because it could be that you're in a space where there is already generally a bit of EMF and you can't really do much about it. Yeah. But so you can tune it to that level. Otherwise, it will be just beeping all the time.
So
it
doesn't go so far. Yeah.
But that one, the combination of these two is a real lifesaver, because, you know, I will notice it myself. But by the time that I'm noticing it, I'm already affected. I'm already on a trajectory to get a really bad headache. So if I can have some equipment that warns me, that makes it so much easier. And, you know, the funny thing is that people generally will then say, oh yeah, but these things, they must be stressing you out. That's it, man. Have you thought about just switching them off and leaving them behind, because then you won't be so stressed?
The meters, yeah.
Yeah, and we're like, yeah, of course, stress is a factor, but you know what really stresses me out? To get these incredible headaches because I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, and for you, you know that you get those headaches for certain. Like you feel them. Yeah. It's not something in your imagination. If someone wasn't as 100% sure as you and they got this and this started to go off, but they never got a headache, just that going off may cause the headache. So you have to know yourself whether it's a good idea or bad idea. It's like when 23andMe first came out, there was a lot of discussion about, is this a good idea or bad idea to know what your genes are destined for? Because what if it causes you, you know, stress and harm and stuff like that? But yeah, you have to know yourself and what's your constitution.
Yeah, I think also that we overemphasize the placebo and nocebo effect. People go like, oh, the first reaction I always get is like, how do you know? How can you be sure? Well, the mind can play tricks, yada, 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 yada. And yes, it's absolutely fascinating and crucial to understand that effect can be had that way. But I mean, I'm already more than 10 years. Every day I wake up with this same condition. Every day I get... You know, the amount of times that I got caught out and didn't realize that I was on a trajectory to fuck myself up for that day. Not just that day, but the next day or two or three, being completely wiped out, not being able to do anything. And, you know, after a while, you start to recognize it. Like, how do you know that coffee makes you jittery? Well, I don't know. After a few times, you figure it out.
Yeah.
How do you know that the sun is maybe burning your skin? Maybe you're a bit sensitive. Yeah. Isn't it just all in your mind? And maybe if you just relax, you can just be out in the sun and stay there and
just
fry up to a crisp and it'd be fine. Yeah.
Also, there's all these devices out these days to harmonize, neutralize, or reduce the impact.
Tricky subject, yeah.
negative impact of non-native emus. I've got Aries Tech devices, there's Shungite, there's Organite, there's all these other different companies. What's your thoughts on those?
Yeah, probably not very popular. Most of it, I'm coming to a point that I think most of it is actually snake oil. I just had to experience a lot myself. I got given Organites and Shungite and pendants, and maybe harmonizers could work. I'd be interested to try out, like the Aries. It's a lot of people talk about it, but yeah. The only thing that I've noticed really to work is mitigation. It's just avoid it, get rid of it, and just shield. Shielding is actually the second step. First of all, you just want to get rid of it. Just switch it off.
Yes.
Get it out of your space. And yeah.
Yeah. That's my recommendation when it comes to healing. It's the first stop doing the negative action or behavior, which could mean stop eating this food, stop being in this relationship. That's my recommendation, is to stop taking the poison so that the medicine you take will work.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like that. Some people actually work better just nourishing, like just take a lot of medicine and it'll flush out the poison. That works as well. But in terms of this, I think it might be a bit difficult to do that because it's just constant all the time. You can't eat and drink enough water to stop it from going on. So you got to shield. You got to shield, mitigate, reduce. Have you heard of Leela Quantum Tech?
No.
That's the one that Dave Asprey promotes. I think it's pendants and stuff. But yeah, so for you, these things don't seem to work.
Well, I'd be keen to try out some of the more, I don't know, exotic and expensive ones, but they're outside of my financial realm. Yeah. But
in terms of your personal experience with these things, no.
No.
Okay.
No. And I can imagine, like, for example, the harmonizers, they sort of make sense. The ones that are electronically, like, they really emit their own signal.
Right.
But what I've read from my groups, and that's also where I get, you know, it's really good to be able to check in with because we've got about 5,000 people on there, and it does help to get some solid feedback on things. And a lot of the feedback that came back from that was that, yes, it helps in the beginning, but eventually you'll get even worse because it's a little bit like you're at a festival and there's too many different sound stages and you're just getting overwhelmed by the noise. Well, you get your own boombox and play it even louder. And, well, okay, it does help, you know.
Interesting.
But eventually it will wear you down. It feels more harmonic, but...
So ideally what they would be doing is if you're at a festival, you play the exact same music and sound and it'll cancel each other out.
Yeah, cancelling is always a very attractive idea, but just even a fraction of a millimeter shift in where you are, because we're talking about such small frequencies. Like it's reasonably easy to cancel bass sounds. What are we talking about? 20, 30, 50, 80, 120 hertz.
Yeah.
We're talking about trillions.
So noise cancelling headphones work on that, on those lower... Okay.
Yeah,
but these trillions ones, it's almost impossible.
Like if you have your meter here, you'll see that the value is changing. It's like rippling water. This whole space is just it's flickering.
Frequencies.
I mean, maybe. But right now, no.
And you have to match that. I know there are devices you can get that emit those. Maybe we're talking about the same ones for healing, and they create different. But if you've got all these non-native EMFs around you, while you've got that on, it may not be as impactful. So it's probably a good idea to shield. If you're going to get one of those devices that emits healing frequencies, make sure you're shielded, right?
Yes.
Turn your Wi-Fi off, turn your phone off, get some foil around the house. Or I heard lead paint is also good.
Well, it's a graphite paint. So it's
white. In the mainstream, lead is bad. But I know that lead is good at, or graphite is good at... blocking the frequencies?
Yeah, lead is not particularly more effective for electromagnetic fields, but if you get something like Y paint, Y shield paint, that actually absorbs. And that's the tricky thing. Like my low budget solution of dealing mostly with aluminium, for example, is a very tricky proposition. I wouldn't do that if you're not really confident in what you're doing, because you might make it way worse, because it's such a reflective field. If there's any kind of influx of electromagnetic fields, it will just bounce around.
There's a leakage.
It'll just go ping, 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 like a bullet. Yeah, or a device or something. So you have to be really careful when doing that.
Okay. In concrete, is that?
Concrete is no. No, it's the same. Like, you know, in an office, you've got plenty of concrete walls. Mm. There's not much that stops them. It's basically metal and water. If you really want to have the shorthand for it, that's the only thing.
Water. Okay. Yeah. Like, how much water are we talking about?
Probably not much.
Meter? The width or the length? How?
Well, if I look at myself and I put myself between the source and the meter, I can see it takes about 1/3. Of the signal, and so that 1/3 of energy is inside my is being absorbed in my body or deflected.
So we're absorbing it, so we're affecting 1/3 of that field.
Yeah,
with our own.
That's a very very rough estimate. At it, but yeah, but you know, when we're talking about like this kind of shielding, we're talking about reflecting 99.999%, and even that is then still not always that great, you know. It's really about that last little bit. It's also funny, if I measure here, we will be looking at 0.04 microwatts, really tiny. My phone emits something like in 200,000. But the funny thing is that even in this shielded environment, the phone will still get reception. The phone will still be able to make contact. Your phone that was on here...
Yeah, it actually got a signal.
Exactly.
How?
Because it only needs very little. Right. But we blast it so hard in both directions just to make sure that the customer is, you know, there's not a single dropout. So that's
one thing that we could do as a society.
Heaps. Yeah.
Is to stop blasting.
Yeah.
And just to put up with holes and patches in our service.
Oh, it would be a huge, huge difference. Huge.
That's amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to share? So, is there a name for this? Is there a scientific or technical or some sort of diagnosis?
There's a bit of controversy about it, because the most common name for it is electrohypersensitivity, EHS. And some people think it's a bit, it puts the onus, the problem with the person that is experiencing it, saying, oh, you're sensitive. Oh, gosh. Poor little thing. Well, it's not us. It's not our technology. It's you. You're just too sensitive. And sort of the instant reaction that I've quite often witnessed is that people say, well, I guess it's not your time then anymore. You know, you have to just de-evolve out of it, and the strong ones shall survive. I think the more apt name that was given in the 1950s, which shows all the same symptoms, and it was based on sickness from radar, is called microwave sickness. And that really is what it is. You're getting sick from microwaves. It's very factual. It's very simple. And that really is what it is. But, you know, it's the same like what they've done with when people were called shell-shocked. They made it into a slightly more palatable post-traumatic stress syndrome. Right, you know, it sounds a lot less horrible. No, you've been shell-shocked, bro. And sanitizes it. And EHS is a sanitized version of microwave sickness.
Yeah, well, what do you think of microwaves, the actual heating devices? Is there much shielding there? Because I heard that they leak constantly.
They leak constantly. I mean...
I know certain nations have banned them.
Yeah. I bought one when I was 17, and then I read about how the gases in there are actually an incredible nerve toxic gas that if it would ever leak, you basically could get completely paralyzed. So I thought, nah, maybe not. You know, the funny thing is my mom always warned me, do not take a microwave. And I was, you know, I'm the techno kiddie. I'm like, nah, whatever, mom. This is so great. This is so cool.
She knew.
No, but yeah, people say 6 meters is the minimum distance from your microwave, and you know, different qualities. But
While it's switched on.
While it's switched on.
Yeah, I know some people turn it on, they just sit there waiting for the food.
I would not even be in the same room.
And like, I run duck and cover. Yeah. What do you get?
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is that it blasts out, like, it behaves like light. So if you would have this, like, construction light blasting in your kitchen, yes, your whole kitchen lights up. It's not just like in sort of a straight beam out. It bounces all over the place. It's energy.
Yeah. I think the last time I used one was 2011 or 2012. But man, food tastes better when you don't use a microwave. It just takes longer.
Hey, slow cook. Yum.
That's cool. Okay, so.
And if you're in a hurry, get a pressure cooker.
Oh, yep. Yeah. There you go. So you think that's a good term, microwave sickness.
Yeah. I think it's more apt. But
today, people would use the electrosensitivity?
Yeah, electrohypersensitivity. Electrohypersensitivity. EHS, that is, or even ES, electrosensitivity, which is maybe a bit more, it doesn't put that hyper on, as in like, oh, you know, you're just too sensitive. I think we're all sensitive.
Yeah,
electrosensitive.
I think we're all ES, but someone like you would be EHS.
I am definitely hypersensitive.
Yeah. You're the canary in the coal mine for the rest of us, telling us the sky is falling and no one's listening. That's great. Can people look up your work or anything? Well, nah.
No. I mean, I am available for. I've been helping quite a lot of people to deal with this.
Yeah,
and right. I send out my meter and then can help them remotely, because obviously I'm not going into these areas anymore. It's just too bad for my health. But there's a lot that we can do to figure out what's going on in somebody's house or surroundings, especially if they have the meter and they can share their the readings with it, and we can sort of tick off the boxes and figure out like what's going on.
Do you know if there's anyone else doing that in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think there's probably two or three building biology specialists that are building doing it. Biology. And you probably would want to think, they would ask maybe something like $300-$400 or so for a session. So it's not cheap, but you know,
it's worth it.
Yeah, and they use like real good equipment, and it goes a lot further than just only the RF signals. But if people want to contact me, they can most easily find me on Telegram. Under my name, Vasku.
Yeah, so Daniel Vasku, V-A-S-K-U.
Yeah, so with the Telegram, it's easy as t.me/Vasku.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Or my website, vasku.com, but I'm just transitioning to another host, so it might be spotty just for the next weeks.
Yeah, and just for people who want to do their own research, I've got three books to recommend, one by Arthur Furstenberg, The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life.
Love it.
A book by Nicholas Pinot, The Non-Tinfoil Guide to EMFs, and one by the great and always awesome Dr. Joseph McCullough, EMF'd, 5G Wi-Fi and Cell Phones, Hidden Harms and How to Protect Yourself. So those three books, if you were to read all of those, it'll give you a massive...
Yeah, love your selection. Yeah.
Yeah. And the rooster likes it too.
Yeah. Yeah, and like The Invisible Rainbow, that was like
that's the one that opened many people's eyes.
Yeah, I'm not a great reader. I tend to swerve off after 150 pages, and this thing is like what, 600 pages with 150 pages of references, and I just couldn't put it down. I was like, oh my god, this all makes so much sense now. You know, I wish I'd read it so much earlier.
I've
been suffering for 10 years, and then suddenly, no wonder, holy moly.
Hopefully we can teach our kids, like, it's all about the next generation, and we can do something about it. But thanks for that, man. That was awesome.
Awesome. Thanks. Cheers, man.
Thank you once again, Daniel. That was really awesome. I really enjoyed that, and I'm hoping it'll help raise people's awareness around our sensitivity to the electro smog or electric smog that is very prevalent today. It's toxic, really, to be honest. It's non-native EMFs. We are biological creatures based on electrical current and magnetic fields. And the fact that we're creating technologies that is harming and disturbing and putting out of balance our own fields is quite ludicrous, to be honest. And so something to look into for yourself if you haven't been able to get to the root cause of your problems, of your health symptoms. Yep, so that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.